Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 18, the passage verse 35 to 43, where we see these words in verse 38, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so we find this blind man on the side of the road on the outskirts of Jericho, crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then he cried the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we know the name of this man. It's not told us here in Luke, but in the Gospel of Mark, we're told the name of this man is Bartimaeus. I want to note just a couple of things this morning. There are many things we could say about Bartimaeus and also his friend who was with him. There were two blind men. But I want to note just two things. I want to note his opportunism and also that his enterprise, you could call it, was successful. He had come to the right place for mercy. He cried for mercy, and he had come to the right place for mercy in Jesus Christ. Well, let's look first of all at this opportunism. And I want you to note how quickly Bartimaeus responded to the opportunity. Now, just note the whole setting here. Now, put yourself in the place of Bartimaeus there, in his very physical dark world and also spiritual too, but he was blind, of course, and there on the side of the road. And there he was just getting on with life until that moment, albeit a miserable life, you could say. And the routine of the familiar methods of begging. And it must have been quite mundane, not much variety to his life. Day by day, begging on the side of the road. And not just thinking of that moment, but day after day, year after year, no doubt. And you could forgive him for missing this opportunity of the Savior passing by. He might have been in some kind of stupor and just not alert and awake. And before you knew it, the Savior had gone and the opportunity had passed by. And what is more, it's not as if the Savior was only a few feet away. Otherwise, why would he cry out the way he did? And as I said, after all, he was blind. And we could forgive him for missing the opportunity of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, passing by this great opportunity. But see him. See him how quickly he responds. It is really quite dramatic. If you notice the words and just enter the account, it's quite dramatic. He asked those near him, what's the cause of the hubbub? What's the cause of the noise? And once he hears, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by, straight away, just imagine it, straight away he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. No hesitation. Straight away he cries out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And those around told him to be quiet. His response was to call out even the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. His soul, you could say, jumped into action. His whole body jumped into action. No doubt, when he cried out the more, it must have been more intense, more frequent, and more volume maybe. They told him to be quiet, but rather, he probably increased the volume. Oh, just note now this morning the speed and the intensity of the response of Bartimaeus to the passing of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. What is more, just to pick out on one other point, he cast away his garment. Again, that suggests an energetic response, even symbolically, you could say, the casting away of the world and going to Jesus Christ. Well, what shall we say about all this? On the one hand, it shows us the way to seek Jesus Christ and to seek salvation. on the other hand, is a condemnation of all who do not seek or who are half-hearted in their seeking. Let's give you some examples. Those who hear of Jesus Christ and pay no notice. What a contrast to Bartimaeus. They're nothing like Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus puts them to shame. And such people who hear of Jesus and pay no notice are guilty of gross negligence of their own souls. They might be very attentive in many other ways, but in the most precious thing they have, they are guilty of gross negligence of their precious and immortal soul. Then think of others, those who hear of Christ and can't be bothered. Maybe they are aware of the opportunity. They know there's something here which is remarkable, which is different to the world, and they're kind of drawn, and yet they don't have enough energy or motivation to do anything about it. There are many people like this. Yes, they care, but they don't care enough. Well, they're not like Bartimaeus, are they? Bartimaeus shows them up altogether. And then think of others who hear of Christ and call out once. Again, these people might be aware, maybe more aware of the opportunity, aware of their own need, aware of Christ and his worth, and they call out at once. And then comes some discouragement, and they let him pass by. Well, my friend, they're not like Bartimaeus, are they? Yeah, they called out once, but that's all. Think of those who hear of Christ, another example, and who go away from him. This is more than just letting him pass, but they actually physically go away, walk away from Christ. Now, I have in mind here those, again, who are aware of the opportunity, but they hesitate, they contemplate, and they wonder of this Jesus of Nazareth, of the gospel. They listen for a while, and then they walk away because something is more important to them, some distraction or some matter they have to see to. Now, my dear friend, if I can stay a little longer on just that last example, because there are many such people like that, and I feel I need to highlight that group in particular, those who hesitate and not just let Jesus pass by, but actually walk away from Jesus. Not like Bartimaeus here, of course, but there are many such people. And I've known many such people in our church services, and you notice they're not here today because they walked away. And for some reason, they did not realize what a precious gospel we have here. I'm not speaking just of our church, but of other good churches too. But I will speak of our church. They did not realize that Jesus of Nazareth was here. My dear friend, I make no apology. We know in whom we believe. We know his power. He's with us. And those who walk away from Jesus. Now with some, they simply stop coming and disappear into the world, into the forest of the world, we might call it. With others, they go to some other church which does not have the same opportunity of gospel clarity. They walk away to another place, more comfortable, and suits their needs better. And others even move away to another city with no thought of what they left behind. They've come here. They've met with Jesus, you could say, for a moment, and they actually moved away to another place. Oh, my dear friend, all these examples, and these examples I've given just now, very sadly, are not like Bartimaeus. I do want to condemn you this morning. If you walk away from Jesus Christ, you are not like Bartimaeus. It's not me that condemns you. It is Bartimaeus that condemns you. And his example. Rather look to Bartimaeus, my friend, and take the opportunity. Respond with immediacy, with intensity and urgency. Respond as if your soul depends on it, because it does.
respond as if Jesus of Nazareth is here, because he is. Respond to the gospel, my friend, with all your strength and might, because Christ, the Son of God, is here. Well, I suppose there's rebuke and inspiration in the opportunism of Bartimaeus. But now see how this opportunism leads to a successful enterprise. And Bartimaeus had come to the right place. In essence, he was asking mercy from mercy. Do you get it, my friend? Have mercy upon me, he says. Have mercy upon me. But who was he asking mercy from? Mercy himself, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And although there's some rebuke here this morning, this is now all inspiration, all the way home now. Because here we have the sight of mercy. He's in our sight lines. The mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Now, with Bartimaeus, it's apparent, I think, he had faith in Christ. Indeed, Christ says so. No doubt he believed Christ to be merciful. And when he called for mercy, it was not calling for mercy with the strength he did, because Christ was not prone to mercy. You know, sometimes people are in dire straits and there's some tyrant over them, and they may call out, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Somehow appealing to something inside them to show mercy. The last call, the last throw of the dice, you could say. Have mercy upon me. Not like that, my friend. No, rather, Bartimaeus was moved to call for mercy because he knew the Savior was merciful. Have mercy upon me, son of David. Have mercy upon me. Mercy was passing by. And so he called for mercy. And yet I suggest, little did Bartimaeus know how merciful the Savior was, because he was asking mercy from mercy himself. Think of this mercy this morning. Think of his beginnings in the Trinity, in eternity, in the eternal counsels of God before the foundation of the world, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And here we see the storehouse of mercy. A mercy of a different order to the world. Or the world has mercy. I hope to show you. This mercy is different and better in so many respects. Think of God and his attributes. The attributes of God, the character of God, is great and perfect in every attribute. And so his mercy also is great and perfect. Think of the great mercy of the Godhead. It's a mercy for many sinners and the worst of sinners. Oh, the world will write people off. The world will not allow mercy to somebody like Hitler, Mussolini, or some tyrant like that, or Saddam Hussein. No, no mercy, they would say. But that is not our God, my friend. If such people repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ, they shall have mercy. No, it's great mercy, the mercy for the worst of sinners, and a mercy not just of forgiveness, but of many blessings. It's abounding mercy. John Newton speaks of amazing grace. We'll sing that in a moment, or listen to the hymn being sung. Amazing, amazing mercy, we could say, in the context here of Bartimaeus. Amazing mercy, amazing mercy. It's also perfect mercy. Now listen to this. It's a mercy which does not compromise with man's sins. Man's mercy is always tainted. All kinds of ways. But God's mercy is perfect and pure and holy and clean. He shows mercy like this. He sends his Son into this world to suffer on the cross for the sins of men, to satisfy the justice of God that sin has been punished, and opens a way for mercy. And so justice is satisfied through the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary and opens the door for mercy. It's a legal mercy, my friend. It's a legitimate mercy. It satisfies the law courts of God. And it's a great mercy. It's a perfect mercy and a great mercy. The mercy of God. Oh, see the proportions of this mercy in the storehouse of God. And then they see the mercy coming into this world. Christ came to this world. He came to show mercy and to pay the price for mercy. He took to himself our humanity so that he might show mercy. He could not show mercy to us from heaven without becoming a man, because he had to become a man to die for our sins and represent us. And so he took our humanity to show us mercy. He came to Bethlehem, was born in Bethlehem for the purpose of showing mercy to man. And every detail of his life had this focus. Oh yes, he helped people here and there. We'll mention that now shortly. But the focus was there to Calvary. Mercy, mercy, mercy to men and women and to sinners. Indeed, let's mention those things he did on the side without ever becoming distracted there towards Calvary. But as he went, he helped people in the ordinary things of life. He showed mercy to Bartimaeus, for one thing. How ready he was to help people. And to many poor and needy. Oh, so many helped. What a picture we have. What a lovely picture. Christ came to this world to show mercy to us by taking away our sins. But on the way, he was helping, helping, helping on all the way to Calvary. What a God, my friend. What a Savior, Jesus Christ. So different to this world. A splendid mercy. And our Savior had a heart of mercy. But see the heart of mercy in Calvary on the cross. Because there he took away the sins of men. There he took away the wrath of God. See this taking away. He took away the sins of sinners and took away the wrath upon their heads to himself and suffered on the cross for their sins as a substitute. He died in our place. Who is he, my friend? But the Son of God, God himself. And God himself in Christ Jesus took the sins of men upon himself. What a great mercy this is. What an expensive mercy. What a precious mercy. And then think of the extent of it. As I said, it's not just forgiveness of sins. It is that, a full salvation, a full salvation. Forgiveness of sins, a righteousness to cover us from head to foot, and the full blessing of our souls, nothing lacking. Oh, our God is so generous. You know, sometimes hosts, when they take visitors, are generous. Some people are very good hosts, and they go overboard to accommodate their guests. Well, my dear friend, our God is a great host, and the blessing of our souls. Here, many blessings, but then everlasting life. Just think of the history of this mercy. And it's worked out through all the history of the world. Many sinners before Bartimaeus knew this mercy. Many sinners before Bartimaeus. Just take one example, Black Manasseh, we might call him. That's evil and wicked king of Israel. Black Manasseh. Manasseh. There's your Hitler. There's your Mussolini. There's your Saddam Hussein. Manasseh. Manasseh found mercy with God. He could not undo the harm he had done. But he himself found mercy with God. And many sinners after Bartimaeus knew this mercy too. Think of that persecutor of the church, Saul of Tarsus. What harm, what trauma he caused in the church. Yet this Saul of Tarsus found mercy in the sight of God in Jesus Christ. And not just those two examples. Many, many, many sinners. We have to add, many sinners. Think of the host of heaven. Think of the church. Ah, you might see the church as a small thing. But you know, put together and put together and put together, what a multitude. The Bible speaks of them as a multitude. What a multitude they are. All, every one of them have received mercy. Not one of them will be there because they themselves had some merit. No, they're all sinners saved by grace and the mercy of God. Mercy, mercy. If you hear the people, this multitude, cry out, they will cry out, mercy, mercy. We've received mercy from God. And that is the gospel, my friend. It is mercy, it is mercy. Pick up on the words of Bartimaeus. It's mercy. It's not doing your best. It's mercy. Mercy. Mercy through the suffering of Christ on the cross. Well, maybe you too have received mercy, or will today know his mercy. This mercy is personified, you could say, in Jesus Christ. Who can measure the mercy of Christ? When I say Bartimaeus was asking mercy from mercy, oh yes, it's a nice expression, but you know, I can't measure it. Who can measure it? The mercy of the heart of our Savior and our God is enough, of course, to move us to worship. Mercy. All those saved here this morning are here because of mercy. Why are you here this morning, those who are Christians? It's because you've known mercy. That's why. And we call others to know this mercy of God in Jesus Christ. See, Bartimaeus had come to the right place in asking mercy from mercy himself. He was right to call with all his heart, because that is really the only calling there is. All of the calling will let him pass by. All of the calling will walk away. But this calling from the heart will take hold of him. Oh, just see here in Bartimaeus. He called and he called. He cast away his garment. He went to Christ all in a moment. He took the opportunity. He was an opportunist. But he came to a sure mercy. Once he started that course, there was only one ending, and that was mercy. He has set out towards mercy. There would not be a refusal. There's only one ending. He would have mercy. He would have mercy. Our Savior asked him, "What do you want? That I might receive my sight." And so the Savior gave him his sight, and no doubt the sight of his soul too, because he mentions, "And you are saved." Well, here's but one example of mercy in Bartimaeus, and may it move your heart this morning. I trust you've come to this place of Bartimaeus, the right place. Understand this. Oh, may your soul jump into action like Bartimaeus. Know this opportunism. As one hymn writer said, venture on him, venture on him. There is a momentum to true faith. Now, I know there are exceptions, but this is the usual way. Bartimaeus, Christ comes, the soul responds, goes to him, and believes. And what a successful enterprise. That you might know this success. And to note very carefully this morning, Bartimaeus. Go home and think about Bartimaeus. Open the passage. It's three times in the scriptures, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Notice him. What an example he is. Bartimaeus. How quickly he responded. And I would say to you, quickly respond, my friend. The clock is ticking. Your patience, your attention span is going. Quickly. And quickly from the depth of your soul. Quickly go to Christ. He's passing by, that thought too. He's passing by. It's an opportunity. He'll be gone in a second. Believe. Take hold of him. And do not walk away. It's not worth it. Whatever you want in life, it's not worth it. This is the one thing you must have. You must have this, Jesus of Nazareth. Your life is but a breath. Before long, it will be over. These moments These small moments in your life are the moments. Grasp the moment. Be an opportunist. Grasp the moment. And go to show mercy in Jesus Christ. Oh, once you start off on that course, I know the end. You shall be saved. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray for this liveliness of heart, this response of the soul. And we ask, O Lord, that men and women might cry out like Bartimaeus, oh, to have such responses again, we do pray for, O Lord, for the glory of God and for the good of men, that men might be saved from their sins. How it breaks our heart to see those who let him pass by, those who walk away. Oh, how wonderful to see a soul saved. We pray it might be so. Amen.